for those who don't know, Mr. Spicely's life and his legacy really started when he was stationed at Camp Butner and was on leave visiting friends in Durham back in 1944. And I'll let you pick it up from here. What happened when he was seated on a local bus and in uniform?
Well, Private First Class Spicely got on the bus in a section of Durham that was predominantly black. And in those days, of course, the buses were segregated. But when he first got on the bus, it was mostly black passengers seated. So he actually sat down in the second seat from the front, which was acceptable because there were, at that point, no white passengers on the bus. As they moved into moved toward Main Street or downtown, bus driver asked him to move back toward the back, which he did. Then later on, some white soldiers got on the bus, and he asked all the black passengers to move to the far back, including Booker Spicely was asked to move to the rear seat. And Private Spicely said, several things. But one of the things he said was, "I thought I was fighting this war for democracy. In other words, why should I have to move behind the white soldiers?" He also said, "Aren't I just as good to stop a bullet as a white soldier?" You know, indicating that, you know, he was equal to anyone else. So he resisted Jim Crow, but he actually did move to the rear seat.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequently, when he got off the bus, the bus driver, who was white, a man named Herman Lee Council, all the bus drivers in Durham were white at that time, and the bus drivers were often armed as well. Essentially, they had the authority of being a police, in a sense. And so when Private Spicely got off the bus, Council, the bus driver, also got off the bus. Spicely was unarmed and in uniform, and the bus driver shot Spicely twice, killing him. The bus driver then got back on the bus and continued on his route, and later giving himself up. But Private Spicely was shot and left bleeding on the pavement on Club Boulevard near what is now Berkeley Street, was then 4th Street. And he was brought to Watts Hospital, which was very close by, which is now North Carolina School of Science and Math, and he was refused treatment because Watts was a white hospital, did not admit black patients. In fact, they did check his blood for alcohol, which proved to be negative, but meanwhile, while he's possibly dying, they're trying to make him into the perpetrator and not the victim.
Right.
So ultimately, he was brought to Duke Hospital where he died.
And the bus driver, what happened with him?
So the bus driver was indicted, and there was a trial. Private Spicely was shot and killed on July 8th, 1944, in the evening. Counsel, who was working for Duke Power Company. It should be noted that the bus company, the Durham City buses, were run by Duke Power Company, now Duke Energy, at the time. And so Duke Power Company put up the money for the defense of Council, who was an employee. And there was a trial. You know, in those days, the judge was white. The jurors were all white. So there was really no chance of a fair trial at the time, even though essentially the voice of white supremacy in Durham, the Durham Morning Herald, the local newspaper, said just the opposite. North Carolina was a place where a black man could get a fair trial, or a white man, and even if the black person was the victim, which was not true, mm-hmm. which the black newspapers like the Carolina Times called them out on.
Right.
In any event, there was a trial. The trial was relatively fair. Witnesses, both black and white witnesses, there were many witnesses to what had happened. Counsel, the bus driver, claimed that it was self-defense, even though he shot Spicely twice, and Spicely had gotten off the bus and Council approached him, not the other way around, which witnesses testified to. And in any event, the all-white jury acquitted Council in just 28 minutes.
As for the memory of Private First Class Spicely, his second cousin actually started a journey to make sure that his memory would remain alive.
Right. That's several Spicely family members have been involved in trying to lift up this story and remember their cousin. That's Cynthia Mitchell and Artrell Spicely in particular have been very involved. There was a committee called the Booker T. Spicely Committee, started several years ago by James Williams, Gretchen Engel, John Shelp, and others. And they've also been lifting up this story. There was a historic marker that was dedicated to Booker Spicely that's now on Club Boulevard, close to the School of Science and Math, near where Spicely was killed. And that was dedicated actually 2 years ago on December 1st, which is actually the date of Booker Spicely's birth.
And there was a ceremony. What was the discussion like on Monday regarding his life?
Yeah, the discussion on Monday was very rich. We've had a number of programs dedicated to Booker Spicely and what happened back in 1944. This discussion was designed to focus on the family, the Spicely family, Booker Spicely's story, but as well as the story of his brothers and sisters, his parents, and younger relatives who are still around today. And it really showed the importance of lifting up the story, the kind of trauma that is caused by these type of events for the family. But the family played a big role in trying to get justice, which was brought out in the program this week. Robert Spicely, the older brother, was a prominent educator, and he tried to get justice. Two of Booker Spicely's sisters, one of whom he lived with in Philadelphia, they had grown up in Blackstone, Virginia, but many of them had moved to Philadelphia. They also raised funds, tried to get the NAACP involved to get a more fair trial.
And obviously, his life will continue, and his family, it was interesting, there's been books written about him, and just overall his legacy will not go down in vain, and it's wonderful that the Museum of Durham History continues to honor him in this way. Private First Class Booker T. Spicely would have turned 116 this past week, and certainly you're doing everything, you and many others doing everything to keep his memory alive. Jerry, we thank you so much for your time. Jerry Greshenhorn from the Museum of Durham History, we appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.